We're going to confess our sins together, and we will look first to Psalm 51 again. The verses I'm reading from Psalm 51 this morning are verses 10 through 13, so you can turn there if you'd like to follow with the reading. Psalm 51, beginning in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Amen. This is God's word. Well, I'm thankful for Pastor Mark, who was here, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and he preached on Psalm 51. And these things in God's providence are not an accident, that Mark brought Psalm 51 and that I've been working my way through Psalm 51. Certainly the Lord has things to teach us from this psalm as we spend time together in it. And when we begin our service with the Lord's Prayer every week, we say, "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." And clearly, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught us that confession of sin is one of the most basic things that we do in prayer. It's a very short prayer, the Lord's Prayer, right? It's only a couple of petitions, and yet confession of sin is part of that. And so we are helped by Psalm 51 to learn this pattern of confession of sin. And so we must look to a man like David, who did sin, sinned much, in order to learn this pattern of what does it look like to repent before God. And so today I want to look at verse 12 in particular, where David says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." And I'm mostly focusing on the first line, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Well, what we learn from this petition, this prayer that David gives, is that sin destroys joy. Sin diminishes the joy of our salvation. It affects it. And so we need to recognize this is one of the consequences that comes from sin. We lose joy. When the Lord God calls us out of our sins and saves us through Jesus Christ, he gives us so many reasons for joy. We're set free from the debt of our sin. We're forgiven. We're declared righteous in his sight. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're given the Holy Spirit, who produces in us the fruit of the Spirit, which includes joy. We experience, in the words of John Newton's hymn, solid joys and lasting treasures. Only Zion's children know those things, the hymn says. Peter speaks to this in his epistle in 1 Peter 1, verse 8. He says this about the joy that we receive. "Whom, having not seen, you love." He's speaking of Christ. "Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So this is the kinds of joy that we receive as we contemplate our salvation. God grants us a joy that is enduring, that is strong, that is not affected by our circumstances like worldly joys are. But when we sin, we diminish this joy. And that's what David is expressing when he gave way to his lustful desires and he committed a series of very heinous sins. He destroyed this joy that God had granted him. He experienced this burden of grief and sorrow. Why is it that sin destroys the joy or diminishes the joy? Well, first, when we experience the conviction of the Spirit, that brings this sense of sorrow and grief to our souls, a godly sorrow and grief to our souls. We may experience a feeling of shame. We can feel ashamed before God. We can also feel ashamed before others. That can diminish our joy. We may also lose our joy because we're experiencing the consequences of our sin. David experienced many as a result of his sin. The baby that had been conceived died, even though he had pleaded with the Lord to preserve this child's life. The sword never departed from his house thereafter. Sin will also produce sorrow by diminishing our assurance as well. We can have these terrors of God's judgment hanging over us. And of course, we have the promises of God, but we can have this sense of judgment, that God would justly judge us if he so chose, and yet we're thankful for the promises that mean we will not be judged. And of course, another reason that sin diminishes our joy is because sin promises something that it doesn't deliver. David in Psalm 16 said this in verse 4, "The sorrows of those who hasten after another god shall be multiplied." When we run after idols that promise satisfaction, we actually just increase our sorrows, is what he says. So this is what sin produces, brothers and sisters, and may we not be deceived into thinking that it's going to produce something else. Sin produces sorrow. So that's the first thing that we observe from this verse. But now as we think about David's petition, what he's asking for is God to restore the joy of his salvation. Now what's assumed in this prayer of David is that David can't produce the joy himself. He's asking the Lord, he's saying, "Lord, you restore this joy to my soul. I can't do it myself." And what this means for us practically is we dare not run after these cheap, shoddy substitutes for joy. When we sin against the Lord and we think, "I can work this joy back up by seeking after these things. I can, perhaps it will be the next meal that will restore my joy. Perhaps it'll be that vacation or the time to myself. If I could just have time to myself, I could restore this joy that is lacking." Or worse, perhaps you think that you'll restore your joy by running after more sinful things. How tragic that would be. The thing that destroyed the joy of your salvation, you run after and go and do more of it. How foolish this would be. Well, the joy of God's salvation is something that goes much deeper into the soul than just some temporary endorphin buzz that you get out of something. The buzz that you get from a chocolate bar, or the buzz that you get from some thrill, or the buzz that you get from playing with your toys, whether they're little kid toys or big kid toys, it's temporary. It doesn't last. It's not substantive. It doesn't stick with us, because it's not the answer, brothers and sisters. If we have sinned against the Lord and we need to humble ourselves, then running after all these cheap substitutes will do nothing. It's going to be temporary. So, brothers and sisters, let us seek a substantial joy by praying to God to restore it to us. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you and he will grant you joy, but you need to humble yourself first. The Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In the prophecy of Isaiah 61, which our Lord Jesus proclaimed in the synagogue as being fulfilled in himself, listen to what it says Jesus will do to those who sorrow over their sin and confess them. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And so, my friends, it is a good thing if the Spirit of God has brought us to the point where we have a heaviness about our sin. That's good. We need to be in that place, because as we come to that place and as we humble ourselves and we confess our sins and confess them honestly, Jesus says, "I'm going to take the mourning that they have, and I'm going to give the oil of joy." And instead of the spirit of heaviness that you're holding on to and feeling this burden, I'm going to take that away, and I'm going to give you a garment of praise And in fact, that's the next verse of Psalm 51. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. We'll look at that next time. But David is saying, Lord, if you give me this joy back, if you forgive my sins and you give me joy, then I will teach others. I will praise your name. And so none of us should despise the opportunity to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, to confess our sins, because he will exalt us. He will restore our joy. So I invite each of you to join me today at the throne of grace. Confess your sins to our merciful Heavenly Father. He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the blood of his Son, Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do humbly confess that we've transgressed your law by our thoughts, our words, our actions this week. And we've seen how our joy is affected by that. It can be diminished by our sins, and we love joy. We want the joy of your salvation. So we ask that you would restore that to us, O God, that each of us would experience that joy that comes from the work of your Spirit in restoring us. And we know the promises of your word in Psalm 30, that weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Instead of the spirit of heaviness, we desire the garment of praise, and so we ask that you would give that to us. And now we take a moment to each confess our sins to the Lord.